This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin. You're tuned into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. The COVID-19 crisis that the world is currently facing is taking up a lot of resources on multiple fronts, one of them being the usage of hospitals and healthcare centres. With hospitals being overcrowded, there is a pressing need to find other buildings that can be turned into temporary quarantine stations. So in Malaysia, under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act 1988, Act 342 Section 2, the Ministry of Health Malaysia has gazetted a list of 409 sites made up mainly of institutional buildings to become COVID-19 quarantine stations. Under this act, the facilities gazetted include public universities, community colleges, technical institutes, former national service camps, training centres, polytechnics and hotels owned by the federal ministries, departments, agencies and statutory bodies. While most of the buildings have been identified, there is now a need to inspect and assess the condition of these buildings before they can be used. The authorities have their own professional body that will be doing these inspections, but Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia are now calling for volunteer architects to be on standby to lend their expertise in case their help is needed. To find out more about this initiative and what makes a building fit to be turned into a quarantine station, we speak to Mumtazah Mustajab, Chairperson of the CSR Committee under Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia, or PAM.
My name is Architect Mumtazah Mustajab, and currently I chair the CSR Committee of Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia, where we encourage members to be socially responsible, to design responsible architecture, integrate education of architects with moral and social responsibility. So some of our scopes include issues related to health, education, heritage, and universal design. As you know, PAM is a national professional institute representing architects in Malaysia. And during this MCO, we are offering voluntary service to the government to inspect, investigate, and assess existing gazetted buildings to be retrofitted as a quarantine center for infectious disease. And just for your information, investigation to a built environment or to an existing building does fall under the Architects Act 1967 and Scale of Minimum Fees, Item 13B under Supplementary Services. So we do inspect existing buildings.
Okay, so can you help define what are gazetted buildings, especially under these acts that have been used to enforce the MCO?
This is within the purview of the government and the ministry concerned. They have gazetted them for specific use only. However, in exercising the powers conferred by Section 2 of the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act 1988, the government has gazetted some various buildings as quarantine stations. So in the current situation of the MCO, quarantine stations refer to facilities to house those who have had close contact to a confirmed positive COVID-19 patient and formulations who are returning from overseas.
So based on the list that I've received, the facilities gazetted include public universities, community colleges, technical institutes, former national service camps, training centres, polytechnics and hotels owned by federal ministries, right? So why were these buildings chosen specifically in a situation like this? What made them the ideal options in a situation like this?
Okay, first thing first, this is actually the government's prerogative to choose which buildings that they're looking for. I'm sure they have done their investigations earlier or they have their earlier list. As you notice that these buildings chosen are actually single occupancy rooms such as hostels and hotels and governments of institutes of higher learning and training centres. But you know, recently the government is collaborating with hotel operators to promote this accommodation. But whether it's ideal, the question of ideal rests with fit for function. The research that we've made was based on criteria of a field hospital should be for a quarantine for infectious disease from best practice. So findings are some were acceptable, some were not due to proximity to residential areas and accessibility. So in MCO and since PAM has no memorandum of agreement or in collaboration with Ministry of Health, we have no jurisdiction to inspect in the very first stage. But on 26 March, 409 locations were gazetted as quarantine centres comprising various government-owned buildings. And lately also has included some privately owned hotels to serve as quarantine facilities. Now, ideally, facilities which enable quarantined persons to be housed comfortably and safely. So they require spaces for health staff to operate, such as, you know, the meeting rooms, the temporary clinical spaces, storage rooms, dining area for health workers, decontamination area, security area, and even sufficient outdoor areas in the event the temporary structures are required. So we need to look at all these situations, conditions to fit into that building. And of course, the building should be in a location where it is close proximity to a COVID-19 screening center or a nearby hospital, so that health workers who are involved receive the proper logistical support. So it can't be at a situation where it is somewhere in the middle of a jungle or something like that.
Are these buildings that are gazetted ideal? What are other buildings that you think should be included in the list?
As you know, recently the government has actually prepared MIEPS. Yeah, so they have it ready for quarantine. Yeah, big spaces like that, which can be subdivided into smaller spaces, smaller rooms or spaces, like better, if I can say. That is also ideal, but for a big group. For isolation areas, it has got to be smaller spaces. But need to really look into the mechanical and electrical aspects of the design as well. So air conditioning, ventilation, safety, security, all has to be taken into consideration.
So you can technically repurpose a space, like, for example, you used the example of MIPS just now. So a space like that, a big space like that, can be repurposed to fit the need of the current situation, right?
Yes, definitely. Mm. You really need to. That's why it is very important for a technical person to investigate that place first, look into not just the architectural aspects of it, but also the mechanical and the electrical aspects of it, because you have to look into, you know, when, how you are going to discharge the contaminated waste, or how are you going to bring in fresh air into the rooms as well.
Yeah, but you mentioned just now that proximity is also important. And again, using the example of MIPS, it's quite far in, right? So is there a question of feasibility when it comes to proximity there?
Well, in my situation, maybe it's not so bad, because I wouldn't say proximity, it cannot be just like 5 minutes driving distance, yeah? So you got to be, say, about 15 or 30 minutes is enough, as long as you can transfer or load the patients easily. And then it has got to be, when it's centralized, it's a lot easier.
Okay. So Pertubuhan Arkitek Malaysia, or PAM, is planning to help lend their expertise in making sure that these buildings comply to the safety standards and regulations, among others.
Yeah.
So what are the standards and regulations that are usually observed in this instance?
PAM is voluntarily putting out a hand to assist if required. So the procedure, if allowed, would be similar to inspecting any other buildings, assess any other buildings. So it should meet basic safety and health requirements as per the Uniform Building Bylaw, the MS1184, and any other guidelines either by the local government, and as long as it is fit for purpose.
Okay. So PAM is looking for architects to volunteer their services in these trying times. Are there any specific criteria for them to be eligible to help out?
Okay, upon reading the needs, we responded with criteria based on both member safety as well as the basic needs for assessment that list out non-hospital buildings. Notice the gazetted ones are non-hospital buildings. So, however, at the moment, we have yet to exercise, since the need has not arisen yet. Our criteria are that they will have to be experienced architects, registered with PAM, and definitely in good health. We can't take people with critical illness, right? So we will ensure that the sites assigned will be the nearest to where they are staying. So we also have to look into the logistics aspect for the architects to volunteer themselves to go to these existing gazetted buildings. And this is actually a voluntary work that we're offering. To date, we have about 110 volunteer architects all over Malaysia who responded to PAM President's call for volunteers, and they're all on standby. Plus, we do have some engineers too. About 20 over, we recently got a call for more from the Institute of Engineers Malaysia. We need them. We have prepared the SOPs, guidelines and checklists all within a short period within the NCO. And should the government call us, we can mobilise these volunteers within a couple of days, including a quick briefing from us. Bear in mind, we are not the frontliners. We volunteered to inspect these gazetted buildings to assess and prepare the report for the government to review.
So will you be given like special dispensation to, I think, be allowed to do your work, considering that we are under the MCO and technically you shouldn't be moving out and about?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so will you be given special dispensation by the government if you were to actually do this?
If we are being called to volunteer, we will request a special letter from the government to allow our members to go to site. And we have actually prepared guidelines for our members, especially on the hygienic aspects of it, social distancing and all those things. And everybody must observe the MCO guidelines as well. Mm. So that's very, very important. So as I said, we are not the frontliners, so we don't need all those extreme PPEs. Yeah, most importantly, you have your mask and have your sanitizers with you. It is just like doing any other building inspections, but we have to observe the MCO guidelines as well.
I guess that will be one of the many challenges that you face currently, right? Are there any other challenges in doing this, especially during MCO?
Very interesting. You know, this is a global thingy, so it's the first time for everybody. So there's a lot of uncertainties and a lot of need to be ready. If needed at both sides, we really need to have faith and motivation. So the whole scenario is not what we wish for. But this is actually a global challenge where we now see that the world is very porous. There is no boundary for this pandemic. But on the other hand, so is information, you know. So information, also there is no boundaries. So we got help and support from our friends all over the world. We share information that has guided us on how to face this challenge. Information such as designs of the field hospitals, the protocols that other countries are using, the various guidelines, the various checklists. So when things are very volatile and situation unpredictable, we just have to use whatever information that we have to be positive and be ready to face. So in looking at the sites in terms of design, the challenge is planning for the quarantine centres, which must be site-specific to suit the existing facilities. And we feel that there is also probably a management and implementation challenges. And it's actually not easy to gather local project team, including contractors, to each site, and yet minimising movement and cross borders. So everything has to be done within the shortest time possible. So in order to minimize these challenges, it's most importantly is to engage with the governing bodies, the Ministry of Health, MKN, JKR, local authorities, even the police, to generate few planning modules and guidelines to their acceptable standards so that any new quarantine centres can be erected when the need arises without hassle. Mm. So it is actually a challenge, but we just all have to be very positive about it.
Mm. One of the things you mentioned earlier just now was the fact that each building has its own specific set of challenges, right? Or rather, suitability and usability, right? So will PEM be giving specific advice on the suitability and usability level of certain buildings, specific to each building?
At the moment, we volunteer ourselves to only investigate, inspect, and come up with a report on the suitability and the viability of the building. So partly we will say yes to this, no to certain things. Yes, this building has certain features which is suitable and not suitable. That's part of our checklist also.
Mm. Is it a black and white situation? It's either it's suitable or it's not suitable, or will you be also saying that, oh, this building is technically only 50% suitable, so there are some adjustments that you need to make, some renovations you have to make? What's the process like usually?
Okay, frankly, we have not seen the checklist prepared by the Ministry of Health yet, but within ourselves, which we prepare, we do come up with some kind of rating and some percentage to make sure whether that building is suitable or not. It's just like having a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star rating kind of situation. And we will mention whether it is suitable in terms of space or in terms of accessibility. So that will be part and parcel of our report as well.
But eventually, MOH has the final say with regard to it.
Definitely. They will have the final say.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
What will happen if these buildings don't comply with the standard?
Don't use them. Because what it means is that the building is not safe, right? Mm. So it doesn't comply to the standard, don't use it for quarantine centres. Mm. That is why the government keep on searching more, has came up with more lists of buildings to be used for quality centres, because some of them may not be suitable.
The barometer that we use here is specifically in relation to whether a certain building is suitable for quarantine center, right? So if it doesn't pass the test, it doesn't necessarily mean that the building is not technically safe, right?
Yeah. But what we will be doing is only if it's requested by the government, because as of now, government has its own technical arm. They're very, very professional and very, very capable, and they can do the job well. So we're here at PAM is only on standby.
Yeah. Do you think that the government will eventually need your help, PAM's help?
I've always asked that question. Two things. One, we hope that the government don't need us, because what it means is that everything is in good hands. But if they called us, that means they really need our help. That's all I can say.
Okay.
We try as much. I'm sure the government has done the best. I am actually very proud being a Malaysian to have this government to look after this kind of condition.
Okay, so I'm sure you have, I guess, your own network to get in touch with all the architects out there. But for those who are not within PAM's network, if they listen to this and they are interested to, I guess, contribute and be on standby, where can they go to lend their services?
So far, at the moment, our network is via email and all the social media. But if there are members, architects who wish to participate to be a volunteer architect, we require you to register with us first. And then we will need to look at your suitability, and then we'll allow you to be a volunteer architect. Yeah, do call us. You can find us in the website, our phone numbers and our email.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week I'm joined by Mumtaza Mustajab, chairperson of the CSR Committee under Pertubuhan Arkitek Malaysia. That's all we have for this episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl, our app which you can find via Google Play and the App Store, and also Spotify. Don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Remember to stay at home, practice social distancing, and stay safe. Join us again next week only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.